Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
There aren't any Jasons 12 and under. That's a dead name.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, "Hey, Marky"? It might be almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wilde and Touch, isn't it?
This is Wilde and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Hear anything. It is the Tuesday edition.
I can hear stuff.
Hot start.
Jesse, what are you doing over there, man?
I don't hear anything. I'm doing live.
Believe it or not, this is
YouTube. Doing live.
This is YouTube's fault.
Well, it's certainly not yours, I'm sure.
No, I take 10% of the blame.
Yeah. So he says, mic's up, and suddenly everything goes silent. Which,
how
again,
is that YouTube's fault?
Because
yeah, I don't know.
Well, we have our intro song here, but our intro song gets flagged for music violations because, you know,
well, change it.
What? Change the song
over there. What? What do you
get
want?
Get to royalty free.
And
yeah.
Then
let's go.
Because if I change it without you guys hearing it, then you're going to be like, what the heck is this song you're playing?
Hey, Jesse, quick question for you. Have we complained at all about any of the royalty-free music?
No.
Any of it?
No.
We have raved about it.
Yeah, you love it, actually.
Matter
of
fact, I've complained when you've played royalty music
because
it keeps us off YouTube and Spotify. So,
right!
What are you talking about? Nobody's mad at you.
All right, say goodbye.
Stop being a victim.
Say goodbye to the Killers. One of these days this week, we're going to have a new song.
I know. I'm sad. I'll be sad, but I'll be okay with it. Jesse, quickly, if I sang the Killers open with a little Killers background, is that still royalty, or was that, how does that work?
So I asked the same question because I wanted to do that Detroit Rock City headline, and after the fact, our buddy Josh DiMaggio, Big Cat, said that if there are karaoke versions of songs, you can use that and it doesn't count against the actual.
Is that right?
Again, I don't want to misquote Joshy, but that was his suggestion for that specific instance.
So, I have an idea.
Oh no.
I think
we should do movies.
No, so you obviously love Matt Carney, and he has been a staple on our show. You sing, is that the 10 o'clock hour that Carney comes in? Or 11.
10 o'clock sooner or later, yeah.
Yep.
So Jason sings and gets lyrics and sings his own to open the 10. I'll do the 9 with some type of Killers song that will be Wilde and Tausch related, a la a parody. And then Jesse with his piano will do the 11. And don't you think that every bit's a teamwork deal?
I love where your head is at. My other thought was I think Matt would just allow us to use his music. But again, YouTube won't care.
All the bands let us use that. We pay a good amount of money for all the bands to let
not
us
anymore,
use their money,
don't.
But YouTube doesn't care about those rules.
Jerks. Nope. And they made us look foolish because of whatever their rules are, causing you to have me talking to you all over the air. All right. It is the Tuesday edition. Evan Cohen's on the show. Matt Bowen's going to join us. We'll save the spiel for tomorrow, I guess. Tausch, I don't know. Did you have somewhere you wanted to start? Because otherwise, you sent me something that I thought was extremely interesting.
Fire it up. I I just wanted to make sure you knew we could hear you. That was the only way, the reason I wanted to start. Everything else is great.
Yeah, I appreciate you letting me know, and I appreciate Jesse putting me in that spot. All right, here's what you sent me, and Jesse, earlier today. So, Ben Johnson speaking to reporters, I assume yesterday, or maybe heading into the Philadelphia game now that I look at it.
Oh, by the way, before you get into Ben Johnson, I text our good buddy Sylvie. I'm going on their show. I'm sure you are too at some point this week. Obviously a big battle. And last year we made a pizza bet. And I think we were going to send him, I don't know, we were going to send him cheese. I felt pretty confident we were going to win. And we beat him. Oh, this was, I guess, 2 years ago. Oh, I got to frame that because the Bears did beat us last year. Mm-hmm. So right now, then we went double or nothing on the first game that the Bears played. And obviously Carl Brooks tipped the kick and we beat the Bears again. So they're down. The Waddle and Sylvie team are down two full-on pizza parties. I think one to our ESPN Madison team and one to Old T's team, my team. I text Sylvie and I said, hey, congrats. You guys are humming along. I'm assuming you want to go 2X here. So it could end up being double. I wanted to give them a double or nothing opportunity.
So there was not a wager on the game?
We didn't wager. He wouldn't wager on the last game of the year. All right, fine. That's great. Whatever.
Huh.
He doesn't. So normally, you know, it's the holiday weekend. So I think I sent it to him Saturday while I was sitting in a bus waiting for the plane to get the ice, whatever it was. I had time. And immediately Sylvie's like, no, let's do each other's shows this week. But no, I'm not going to do that. And I'm thinking to myself, here we go. We got this confident Bears operation. They're in a number one seed. Ben Johnson's ripping his shirt off. They're wolfing down free hot dogs all throughout this great city of Chicago today.
Love that.
And old boy scared of doubling up on his pizza bet. So I don't know if that tells you a little bit about the psyche of where the good old Chicagoans are. I think that they are guarding themselves. They are guarding their hearts because they know this will break them. And they don't want to let us know that it will break them. But if we throttle them or beat them soundly at Lambeau, I believe that they will be broken. That's where I think they are because you know
at
it's fragile.
9-4?
Here's the deal. You don't think that they know how fragile this is? Ben Johnson, this clip you're going to play, tells you he knows how fragile it is. You don't think their fans, they are all downplaying. The Bears fans in the offseason are obnoxious.
They
win every offseason. I'm not sensing, do you feel the bravado that Bears fans should feel being 9-3 and just beating the world champs on the road on Black Friday? They're all hedging. They're wildying their feelings because they know Packer fans are confident and they feel like if they lose to the Green Bay Packers this weekend, this whole house of cards could start crumbling. That's the feeling I get.
I don't know if they were to lose both of them because they play each other twice in a 3-week span, right? Denver, Chicago.
Yep.
Like, I don't know if you're playing them again at your place 2 weeks later. I'm not sure it's going to crumble immediately off of Sunday.
Have you seen on all of your social channels a ton of bravado or confident talk by Bears fans?
Yeah, I'm the wrong guy to ask.
It is as tempered. What do you mean you're the wrong? You're on LinkedIn. You're a Packers reporter.
Yeah, but I'm not scouring Bears Twitter to see how fans are feeling. I would say this. The fact that Sylvie was so reluctant is a bad sign for Bears because he's as pro-Bears as anybody. He may be more pro Bears than Waddle, and Waddle played for him.
I feel like there is a, they're happy.
Apprehension.
But they almost feel, they almost are, I can't believe that we're here, and I don't want this ride to end, but unfortunately, Sunday might be a rude awakening. That's the vibe I get.
That sounds like a biased vibe.
No. No, because trust me, I said all offseason, all you hear are Bears fans talking about how they won the offseason and oh, they got the great coach and they're better than Matt LaFleur and oh, blah, 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 blah. You would hear more and you'd see more. I was in a car for a while yesterday listening to Big Cat from his podcast, not our
not
Big
Josh
Cat.
DiMaggio.
The other Big Cat.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
He's tempering. The biggest, I guess he's a Bears fan. He's tempering his expectations. He wants to see what happens. There is a wait-and-see approach to this Chicago Bears fan base right now. And I'm telling you, I think that they've been scorned so many times by all versions of the Green Bay Packers that this is how they feel.
So you think that scared money, they got scared money right now. They're not feeling so confident. They're not going to Hard Rock Casino Rockford betting on their Bears right now.
I think they've been beaten enough that they are looking at it and saying, I don't want to put my heart out there yet. We're happy. We're
like a bad
excited that this team is getting, but we're not going to open up our hearts yet until we see that we can beat this Green Bay Packers team. That's what I think.
Do you think they're right in guarding their hearts like that?
Yes. I do.
I think so, too.
I do. They're seven-point dogs. They're seven-point dogs.
On the road against a team that has a similar but slightly lesser record than the Bears have. The Bears have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6... Six of their nine wins are one-score wins. And in those games, they have played seven total one-score games. They're 6-1. And usually...
They're winners.
Well, yes and no. You know this. I'm not telling you anything you don't know.
Minnesota had a pretty good record last year at one win.
Correct.
Right?
They did, yes. And that's what allows you to put up a really good record because only
fragile.
A few plays
very fragile.
Separate teams that win from teams that lose. You don't expect to go 6-1 in one score games. Usually it's kind of even Steven. The Vikings were like 10-1 or something preposterous a year ago. So
it is preposterous.
I would say that the Bears, with their 9-3 record, are a couple of plays away from being more like 7-5 or 6-6, right? So I don't blame their fans for being apprehensive. And on top of that, I think there are Ben Johnson himself has questioned how well the quarterback is playing. So Caleb Williams right now has the worst completion percentage of any quarterback starting in the NFL currently. I mean, that includes J.J. McCarthy.
Yep. How about Brosmer, though? Brosmer.
Well, I don't think he counts. I mean, he started a game, but he's not there.
So I just want to make sure I'm crystal clear here because.
Crystal.
I respect what Chicago has done. I do. And I think this is. It's great that the rivalry is kind of back at it. I think it's great for the NFC North, it's good for the NFL. I believe the Green Bay Packers are a much better football team than the Bears. And I think Bears fans believe it too. They don't want to admit it, but I think in their heart of hearts they know it. Now, the beautiful part is we'll find out on Sunday, but they know that you can't win in this league being at low, you know, high 50s completion percentage. Ben Johnson knows it. Their linebackers aren't. They physically took it to Philly. That will be their formula. Can they physically take it to Green Bay?
Run it up the middle.
If they can, they can. If they can, they can beat us. If they can't, they have no chance. That's how I look at this game. So we'll see. That's why they play the games, and I think it'll be great. But if you're asking me, like, what to kind of delve into how everybody's feeling, just like I think Green Bay fans were excited about their team, were upset about some of the inconsistencies, and can we get by the Detroit Lions? Because the Lions have been, they've been our bully. And this season, we took that turn, we took that back. And I don't think we're going to give anything up to the Chicago Bears in their first year with Ben Johnson. That's just how I feel.
We will hear the clip that we referenced at the beginning of this conversation from Ben Johnson coming up next after Tausch tells us about Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Well, ensure your home remains comfortable before all of this brutal post-holiday winter. You know, we got a bunch of snow. We got a bunch of cold air blowing. It's nice when you have Pella Windows and Doors and you keep all that energy in your house and all that dollars staying in, not seeping out. And you know what, Santa? He's a magical fella. But his elves? I want Pella's elves. Santa's elves are not qualified to build Pella's windows and doors with all of the configurations and the stuff. You need to have the professionals. So instead of going through the big red fella, take advantage of zero interest for 24 months with Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Pella's elves, they install year-round and will finish the installation in as little as a day. Hurry up, though. This deal ends December 31st. Schedule your free consultation today at PellaWI.com. Certain restrictions do apply.
We'll hear from Ben Johnson next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
For Evan Cohen of Unsportsmanlike to join us, as he does usually on Tuesdays. I'm juggling his schedule a little bit with us lately, but he'll join us next. We have said on this program from time to time, at least I have, that the Packers definitely can win with Jordan Love. They don't always win because of him, but I don't think we've ever said that they win in spite of him. And Ben Johnson didn't say that exactly about Caleb Williams.
He pretty much did. He
talked about the passing game. He talked about route depth. He may have mentioned something along the lines of the completion percentage. 58% on the completion percentage for Caleb Williams, but here is Ben Johnson discussing the state of the Bears' passing game in the aftermath of his offense racking up 281 rushing yards in a win on Black Friday over the Philadelphia Eagles.
We got to fundamentally be correct. The primary receiver, when he's open, we want to make sure we hit him, and then all of our pass catchers, we just harped on it today. We need to be more disciplined in our route detail. It's not where it needs to be. Our depth's not proper all the time. Our steps isn't. And so everybody's got a role to play to get this pass game cleaned up. It's not where it needs to be. We're winning in spite of our passing game, not because of it. And none of us are pleased with that right now.
Tausch, we're winning in spite of our passing game, not because of it. Ouch.
Yeah, I think if you're a fan of the Bears, you love to hear that. Because that's, you know, being accountable.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just saying, well, this is how we're, you know, this is what we do. You know, we're going to run the, because you can be a great running team. At some point, teams can sell out enough and say, well, let's see if you can beat us throwing the football. And in today's NFL, you have to have some semblance of a passing game. So, I think the more you see Ben Johnson and kind of what he's about and how he's handling his business, you have to be kind of impressed from the outside. And I'm sure everybody on the inside. Now, the results are coming with it, so that makes it easier to sell. But the bottom line is, this pass rush and this defense, if you can limit Manungai and everybody else running the football, and you turn this in, you're going to write this down already for the keys to the game or whatever we do on Friday. Green Bay gets this Bears team in third and 5+. More than they don't, this thing's a wrap. They are going to struggle because I don't, you know, I give them credit again with their O-line, but this needs to be a third and long game. I think that's where you can create turnovers, and that's where our defense really likes to eat. And if the Bears can keep it where they're pounding the football and it's, you know, third and three, third and four, I think you're in for a dogfight. And like most of these games, who wins the battle up front is going to be, it's not going to be who's quarterback. Obviously, we'd take Jordan Love over Caleb Williams, and so would Ben Johnson as we sit here right now. Mm-hmm. He wouldn't say that, but he would. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Jordan is a much better thrower of the football than Caleb is as we sit here today. And, you know, the stats would indicate that. And so if you can get this into a game where you have to throw the football, I think Green Bay feels a heck of a lot better about it than the Chicago Bears do.
So I said something very unpopular because I'm not a fan, and that was that I wanted to see Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson make the Bears good again, because I think this rivalry, which has been so one-sided for the last three decades with Favre and Rodgers. Brett Favre, the Packers with Brett Favre at quarterback against the Bears, 22-10.
Like a win-loss stat. Sounds like a QBWL.
The Packers with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback against the Bears, 25-5.
That's pretty good.
The Packers with Jordan Love at quarterback, 3-1 against the Bears. So 22-10, 25-5, 3-1. The Bears, obviously, no matter who played quarterback, they lost a bunch of those games. So I said that I wanted Caleb Williams to be good enough for this to be like a great rivalry, like Manning versus Brady. That has not materialized yet. Jordan Love is certainly much further along, but I'm if they're going to win in spite of him or win with him, that's still more interesting to me than it being one-sided. I know Packers fans don't feel the way I do. Do you believe that Caleb Williams, I'm going to ask Evan Cohen this as well, do you believe with Ben Johnson as his coach, Caleb Williams will live up to being the number one overall pick from a year ago? Or do you think he's going to be a disappointment for Bears fans too?
I think he has a chance to have a chance. I believe he, when you start looking at it, he moves better than Jared Goff. But I think he is going to need that same Sean McVay, Jared Goff relationship. Jared Goff, when he had Jeff Fisher, stunk.
Mm-hmm.
Caleb Williams with Eberflus, not very good. Now, right. This year, he needs to be more accurate with the football, no question. I think he has, obviously he has the skills or he doesn't get drafted as high as he does. And if you believe that Ben Johnson knows what he's doing, and I do believe he does, I think it could be that type of relationship. Do I see him like I see Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes or any of the top-tier quarterbacks? No. You can't, in this league, you can't have an under 60% completion percentage and expect to have a ton of success. So I believe if I'm a Bears fan, I look at what Sean McVay did with Jared Goff. That would be where I'm hoping to get him to. And if you can do that, you feel pretty good about it.
Yeah, you got to a Super Bowl that way. All right, we need to get ready for Evan Cohen. I'm going to ask him the question I just asked Tausch after I asked Tausch to tell us about Coors Lights.
Yeah, whether you're tailgating pregame, enjoying the experience during the game, celebrating a big dub after the game, or you just need a moment to chill, crack open that Rocky Mountain Cold Coors Light brewed with that three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It is made to chill. Celebrate responsibly, Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Jeff in the ESPN Madison YouTube comments, Jesse did an excellent job last night hosting the Barry Alvarez show. The entire hour was devoted to recruiting and looking back on the season. Tarek Salah was great. Alvarez wants O-lineman from Wisconsin. Jesse, we will give you more pats on the back a little bit later in the program. I'm sure Evan Cohen will give you one when he joins us from Unsportsmanlike next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Wilde and Tausch on 100.5 ESPN is brought to you by Everlight Solar. Save money, save the planet. Everlight Solar.
This is not a farewell to Evan Cohen, because he will continue to join us on Tuesdays, as he always does. This is a farewell to the Killers, though. We have decided, we've made the command decision to, in an effort, despite the princely sum that we pay, to play great music, and we do love the Killers on this show. We want to make sure that we're on the right side of getting you all of our content properly on the various other ways you can consume Wilde and Tausch. So goodbye to the Killers. Hello!
And Jason, and our show is kind of built for royalty-free music, too. Like, I think our show's built for that.
I don't
we
know
like
what that
singing.
Means.
No, we like singing. I don't think we need all of the bells and whistles of big-time artists. Yeah.
I
don't
would say
think
we
part
tend
of
to
what
sing.
We need.
Don't we tend to sing along or parody?
Yeah, but we don't even know the words.
Required music, though? Like,
yeah, we don't even know the words.
Okay. Well, we do know Evan Cohen, and he joins us now from Unsportsmanlike. Evan, good morning. How are you?
You know, for a second, I was like, wait, I wasn't consulted on this. And then I now I understand why. So, I'm, you know what? I could say I'm doing well, but I'm not doing well, guys. And
No.
I'm sure you guys can. Well, I'm sure it's you guys can relate to this. So, I had to rush out of the studio today at the end of the program, right after Stephanie McMahon joined us, who was unbelievable. But the reason I had to rush out is early this morning, 5-something in the morning, I get the automated message from the school system. 3-hour delay for my kids because of an incoming alleged snowstorm. All right, well, that's not ideal. My wife works. My wife works and also simultaneously this week, unfortunately, has jury duty. Well, okay, so you get that message. Now we got to scramble, figure out what we're going to do with the kids for 3 hours. Then, as we're finishing up the show, I get the school closed. Oh, God. It's not currently snowing, and it's raining. Yeah, very frustrating. So now my wife had to go. We had to drop them off at a friend's house. I'm now rushing home. But if you were here where I am right now in New York, this is ridiculous that they're not in school right now. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, there's a quota, right? Aren't there a number of days the teachers are allowed to teach? So when you have the opening, when you haven't taken a snow day, you got to take it, I guess, even if there's no snow? This is ridiculous.
Safety first, Evan. It's always safety first.
Yeah, I don't think that,
yeah,
they're
taking... You know what? I don't look at school as academics. I look at school as babysitting.
Okay. Well, fair enough.
Okay. So, wait. So, at no point were they going to join the unsportsmanlike panel? Like, was that not an option to bring them in to the studio?
You want my wife to drive my kids in and over an hour?
No, get them up and take them with them in the morning.
Yeah, what time?
Get them up. Take your kids to work day. Let's go.
I was sitting at a desk in the city an hour away from my house when I got the initial 3-hour delay notification.
No, you're not understanding. You're not understanding.
Sounds like you get to work
too early.
You knew
that school was going to be canceled 3 hours. It was pushed 3 hours. So wake your kids up at 3:30 and say, hey, it's take our kids to work day today.
Time.
Let's go.
No, you're not listening. I didn't
know.
No,
I was listening.
Time. By the way, let's not blow by what Jesse just said. Go ahead, repeat it, because they didn't hear it, Jesse.
Oh, we heard it.
Sounds like you get to work way too early.
Josh, how do you feel about that comment from your...
I don't have
producer?
Any. No, I made Jesse work too hard yesterday on a number, so I am very sensitive to Jesse's work today. I'm going to be – I don't have a comment on that, Evan.
You asked for caller 126 to win a contest.
Yeah, I asked Riley Young for 140, and Riley soaked it in and said, give me more. I want 142. I want 146.
By the way, speaking of Riley – good job by him representing UW-Madison. I saw that clip. That was great. That all of us, you know, he's standing up for our school. That was awesome. Good job, Riley.
I didn't. What was it? You mean the Big Brother stuff?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. All right, Jason, I don't know if you've seen that or not. FCO, I was listening to your show this morning, and you're trying to tell me that the New York Giants job is not as I guess, in demand because their quarterback plays too reckless. I want to make sure I'm summarizing this correctly. Is
nope,
that your
nope,
take?
Not what I said. Not what I said.
All right, what did you say?
What I asked.
Don't do the ask. You made a declarative statement. No?
No, I did not. No, I didn't. What I'm asking to those who know more than I would, which would be Chris Canty, who played, Mark Tauscher, who played, and Jason Wilde, who covers, what I'm asking is, does a quarterback's recklessness potentially turn someone off to a job? That's what I'm asking. And if you tell me no, because every coach will come in thinking, oh, I can fix that, then case solved. So I will ask you, by the way, let's use your guy, and the guy that I definitely root for, Mike McCarthy. Would Mike be turned off by Jackson Dart's recklessness, or would he say,
no,
give me a training camp with him, I'll
fix
it?
I can figure that out. He said he could fix it.
Okay.
He thinks he could fix it. Yep.
Jason, you agree with that?
Yeah, so I guess my question would be, is the recklessness as much of a deterrent as, say, I don't know, inaccuracy with throwing the football, right? Because Tausch and I were just talking about Caleb Williams and the quote from Ben Johnson saying that right now we're winning in spite of our passing game, not because of it. And he also pointed out the route running and everything else, but that's still an indictment of the quarterback. So I would argue you're more likely to be able to coach out the recklessness than significantly coach out inaccuracy. You can certainly improve fundamentals and footwork and everything you need to be more accurate. We saw Tom Clements and Mike McCarthy do that with Matt Flynn, for example. And we saw him drop Aaron Rodgers' ball carriage after he was done at Cal with Jeff Tedford. But what would you be more turned off by as a coach, recklessly running with the football or not being able to throw the football precisely? I would say it would be the latter.
It's an interesting question. So I'm going to answer it with a question based on real-life experience here that we've seen in the NFL. Do you believe the Buffalo Bills have coached out the recklessness of reigning MVP Josh Allen?
I think that they have improved his decision-making on when he can and should not be reckless, yes. Not entirely coached it out of him, no.
Right, right. That second part really stands out to me. So this is an interesting quarterback discussion, right? I love Jalen Hurts. One of the reasons I love Jalen Hurts is because he's risk-averse. He doesn't make mistakes. Mm-hmm. I understand he did on Friday, but in general, in comparison to his peers, he doesn't make mistakes. Right, I love that. Your quarterback, Jordan Love, really interesting. Makes some of the best throws you'll ever see. Also makes some of the worst throws you'll ever see, but rarely do they result in turnovers, which is an odd thing to have so many missed throws and so many great throws and not turn the ball over. So you bring up an interesting point. Yes, maybe you can coach the recklessness out of a player, but the recklessness we're talking about with some other players is based on where they throw the ball. This, with this specific player, Jackson Dart, is the danger of him actually getting hurt, God forbid. That's
so
different than turning the ball over.
Sure, but I would argue that I saw Aaron Rodgers during his time early in his career as a starter. You know, you saw it in the game in 2007 when he went in Dallas. You saw it when Tausch was blocking for him in 08 and 09.
Jason, I'm going to tell you, and I tell this story a lot, but I know not everybody listens every day. So in 2010, and I think Rodgers, like a lot of young players, a la Jackson Dart, and they want to prove to their teammates they're tough, that they're going to be out there competing, and they're going to get every yard, they're going to make a tackle on an interception. And the light came on for Aaron Rodgers, after he was knocked out of the Detroit Lions game. I think it was a Thanksgiving game. We ended up getting beat 7-3. And it was like a total sludge. And then that next week, in front of the entire team, Mike McCarthy got up and he basically said, "We need you. We need you to be out there. You have to be smarter," because he was running, he took a shot, and I think the light bulb went on when everybody in the room is looking at you at the quarterback and say, "We do need you. You have to be smarter about when you pick your spots." And from that point on, Aaron still would go make plays. He'd do things with his feet. But sometimes it takes your team and your coaches to come out and tell you, "Hey, man, we love your competitive juice. We want you to have that. But we need you. We are dependent on you. And the only way that helps us is if you're out there playing." And I'm telling you, that got through to him. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, the rest of his career, that was in the back of his mind when he was in the decision-making process of doing stuff.
That's a great...
That was really interesting, because the first part of that, what you just said, I had not thought about. That part of the mentality of, in this case, Jackson Dart, in that case, Aaron, was, "I need to show the other 52 I'm one of them." And I had not thought about it that way, because I don't look at a quarterback like I'm one of. Like, I played high school football.
Not overly successful, but you had a fun run, is what I heard.
I don't know that I was a football player. I was a quarterback. And I think that there is a difference. And, like, I don't look at Jack's, like, the quarterback position, yes, football player, sure, like, kind of, but it's not like every other position. It is more important both by salary and both by importance to a game than every other position.
Leadership.
That's not meant to insult. Yeah.
Yep.
So, like, you're not just like everyone else. And in essence, trying to prove you are could actually make you not one of everybody else, because you get hurt and you can't help them. God forbid.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, I think there's also it takes a while for the player, the quarterback, to feel like they actually are deserved of being that, where it's everybody in the building. I don't know if it was Canty or who it was. Maybe it was Jeff Saturday on Get Up that was talking about everybody is dependent on you, or if you get hurt, all of a sudden I go from living in wherever to I have to go find a new town, a new school for my kids. That's how dependent people are on you. And it is everybody in the building. And that is a huge burden that I think some people, you don't know if you're worthy of that. And until you know that, that's when it sinks in. And it does take a little time to understand the bigness of that, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes total sense. It makes total sense, because it's real life. I mean, like, you know, in every someone that's important at a job that will just come in sick every day and then ultimately get sent home, and it's like, well, we need you. Like, we need you for longer than you're going to be here because you're sick, and, like, we need you to be healthy and so on. Like, that is hard to – like, I'm not comparing myself to a quarterback, but, like, I worked 12 years for one company. I didn't take one sick day. Not because I wasn't sick. I just, like, well, I'm going to do it. I'm going to find a way. Right? Like,
what a
hero. That could have hurt people.
Thank you for your service.
I know, yeah, a lot of people. Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you, yeah.
What a waste.
I think it's also important to emphasize.
How does that work then? Do you bank your sick days? And then, because Jesse's actually running on a deficit, and he's wondering if he could trade to get some of your sick days.
Jesse actually used my sick days from another company.
You're welcome. Can't let those go to waste.
This is a serious question, Jesse. I'm being dead serious. Ashton and Brian and Ben and Scals and all the people that are in charge, they said to you, "Listen, you get paid the same and you don't have to work for the next year," would you do it?
Oh, boy. This is tricky. Tricky question.
How is that different than his current schedule?
Jason Wilde of the
burn.
Top rope.
Wow. I would continue to work. Okay. I love what we do. I would continue to work.
There you go.
Work.
That's the right answer, Jesse. I don't know if I believe you, like, but it's the right answer.
May, June, July. pick some spots.
No, that's not the option. That's not the option. Either you have to work every day for the next year, paid the same, or work no days for the next year, paid the same.
Do I get my job back if I take the year off?
Yes, but everybody will judge you.
That's not going to stop it.
Like that's different than any other day. Hey, you know what? I might take the year after. It's all set. Yeah.
Very excited for new Wilde and Tausch producer Hunter Vaughn starting January 1st. Talking with Evan Cohen of Unsportsmanlike underscore.
Evco, my bad, Jason. don't you be rolling your eyes at me. Just remind. So, Evco, or Jason. Jason. Jason, go ahead.
That was Jason putting the ball in the tee. He's the next batter, and I was just moving the batter out of the way to the next at bat.
I put the ball down, and Young Hu Koo missed the football and kicked the turf.
Young Wei Koo.
Yeah.
Heard it both ways.
Jason, go ahead. Just remind me Jared Goff. I want to end it with Evan on Jared Goff. Go ahead, Jason.
Thank you, Tausch. Yes. I just wanted to make a very brief point.
Thought you were taking that year thing off with Jesse.
The concussion that Tausch is talking about against the Lions. Don't forget, the Packers lose their next game, even though Matt Flynn plays really well at New England. And the only reason that loss doesn't eliminate them from playoff contention is because DeSean Jackson had a touchdown on a punt return for the Eagles that kept the Packers alive. Otherwise, not only is that concussion that you're talking about, that Matt LaFleur or that Mike McCarthy says, we need you, vital to their chances. They don't make the playoffs because of it. Mm-hmm. And then you don't win a Super Bowl. All because of that concussion.
Was the Matt Flynn Patriots game the one where the offensive lineman for the Pats had the huge run back on the kick return?
Yes.
The same game?
Yes. Dan Conley.
Yes.
One of the great big man feats I've ever seen on an NFL field. It was unbelievable.
Now,
I was thinking about Jared Goff, Tausch. You got anything on him?
No, I do have it, but Jason, I want you to finish up because
I wanted to get in.
Good stuff. Jason, that was really good by you.
Thanks.
So, Evan, would the Chicago Bears and Ben Johnson be content? Caleb Williams, you just heard Ben Johnson say they're winning in spite of their passing game. He's completing 58.7?
Correct.
58.7% of his passes, which, correct me if I'm wrong, is close to what you completed as a high school senior at your high school. Would Bears fans and Ben Johnson feel good if they were able to go Sean McVay, Jared Goff, Rams era with Caleb Williams? Would they feel good about that?
You know, I never actually thought about what my completion percentage was now that I think about it. I got to look
probably good.
Get back to us on that.
No. I think they should shoot higher than that. I think they could be that good. I ripped. Canty and I discussed this a lot, like how when all the Ben Johnson hype as an assistant coach was happening, I would say on the air, like, can we pipe down with this? If you were making him out to be a combination of Walsh, Lombardi, and Belichick for an insane amount of money when the guy's never coached a game, like, can we relax? And boy, was I wrong. He is that good. And they have something cooking right now that I would be very worried about if I'm a Packers fan, because you're in your window where you should be dominating. And I'm not saying you're not going to. What I'm saying is I think you got a toe-to-toe rival. And no, if I'm the Bears, getting to one and losing it, it's not good enough right now.
You're telling me that if they would get Caleb Williams to play at Jared Goff's level with the Rams, which was high completion percentage, pretty doggone good offense, and they got to a Super Bowl, you're not happy?
Nope.
As a Bears fan?
Not as we're sitting in the moment right now, no. Because they're 9-3 in a year that 9-8 would have been a home run. So, no, my expectations have changed. I said 2 games ago when they had 7 wins, I said 2 more and you're good for the rest of the season. Now, the expectations have changed. They're really good. They were very smart in building inside outs. They have good receivers. I love the idea of drafting a first-round tight end to pair with another tight end. It's what I would do. I would only draft offensive linemen and I would start with a great tight end or two before I even worry about wide receivers. Like, they've just done things the right way here, and I think they have high hopes. And if I'm the Packers right now, I better take advantage of right now because I think this team's only going to get better and better and better.
Well, you don't think the Packers are going to get better and better and better?
I don't know, because the Packers being so young means that they have so many guys that are going to want big contracts and they're going to have to replenish. And we know that the replenishments are going to be as good as the current guys that are not on big contracts. So you would know that better than I would.
Can't you say the same thing for the Bears?
Not really, because Caleb doesn't have his contract yet, and they don't pay a defender like a quarterback.
Good point, Evan. Really good point. Good appearance today.
I took the entire last year off to get to this point.
What is
fresh and relaxed?
Yeah. Evan, anything else that you have on your mind? Because otherwise, we're going to end actually on time for once. So
well,
we can't.
Let me ask this, Evan. Yeah, let me ask this,
yeah,
Jesse.
Yeah.
Anything from the Barry Alvarez show last night that you hit a home run with Tar? Anything that Evan would find super interesting from the Barry Alvarez show that you did
good
a great job hosting last night?
Good question.
Yeah, I have something ready. Actually, our email is not working here on our computer where I could play the audio clips from. However,
good stuff.
Evan, do you believe Wisconsin can turn this thing around right away next year? Because Coach Alvarez believes they can.
Well, what's he going
to
say?
I mean, they certainly took steps at the end of the year. I'd like them to do what I've suggested them to do, which is all NIL money to offensive linemen. Make it an attractive destination for skill position guys who may get passed over elsewhere or who may even get a buck higher somewhere else to say, you know what, I have a better chance of performing at a higher level for more years and getting hurt less behind that enormous offensive line than I would go into this school or that school, whatever it may be. That I'm going to continue. Can they turn it around right away? Yeah, go get offensive linemen. I don't know if they're actually doing that. You would know better than I would.
Well, as a matter of fact, Barry Alvarez did talk about that last night on the Barry Alvarez show. Would you like to hear what he said about the offensive line, guys?
No, not really.
Why don't you tell me the name of the movie?
I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but I do know you have to score some points to win some games if you want to win some games. For Wisconsin not to be able to run the football, I go right back to the offensive line. You can recruit offensive linemen that are as good as anyone in the country right there in the state of Wisconsin. If you put an emphasis on the linemen in our state and you get 90% of them over a 4-5 year period, you're going to be stocked with good linemen. If you have a good offensive line, you have a chance to win whoever you play against because you can hang on to the ball. You can shorten the game. That was our formula for success there. And it starts with Wisconsin kids. That's the one thing that we can, we felt that we could do. You know, we don't have a lot of skilled players. You're going to get a few players from the state who are really, really talented that are skilled players, but for the most part, you're going to get 5 to 8 really good linemen every year. And if you keep 90% of those guys at home, you have a chance to win.
No lies detected there.
Two of the great football minds in the state of Wisconsin, me and Barry Alvarez.
You're in New York.
Really? I thought you were going to say Jesse. I thought you were going to say Jesse Nelson for asking.
Neither of them are currently in the state of Wisconsin.
That's actually a good point.
Well done, Jesse.
That's a good point. Jesse, you know what? You may want to work the next year. That was good.
Real good.
Do you need to spend all of your NIL budget just on offensive linemen, or do you think offensive linemen, while compensated properly, if you just do that, that'll be enough?
Now, what Evan's point is, and correct me if I'm wrong, Evan, I will speak for you. You want to be you want to zig while everybody's zagging. And
that's
if
right.
It is, I will overpay for good offensive linemen to make sure that we're stocked
right.
there, and that will then springboard us to get, we can be that school where it's, you're also going to be a pro. Because there was a time you played at Wisconsin, you didn't even have to play. You were going to get looks into the NFL. That was part of the
deal. I know a guy like that.
Yeah.
So
I think
is Evko's point. Now, when he starts getting
exactly
into
right.
You start getting into the Don Morton run the veer option and do something totally different. I am out on that action, and I was crystal clear about that.
I'll do it by name, okay? So let's do it this way. What I'm saying is, yes, let's make sure Mark Tauscher and Joe Thomas stay at home, okay? Check. But then let's make sure that Mark Tauscher and Joe Thomas make it to the NFL and the rest of their line makes it to the NFL and that they're getting good salaries in college. Where, just as an example, Chargers, big-time lineman who went to Notre Dame, second-generation player, Joe Alt, is like, wait a minute. You know, I was thinking about going to Notre Dame, but, like, they're going to pay me more, and I'm guaranteed to be a top-round pick because that's the O-line school. Let me just go there. That's what I'm saying. The out-of-state guy.
Love it.
It's literally, remember in Social Network where they talk about, you know, Facebook, and they're like, all right, we need to get Texas, but in order to get Texas, we got to make Texas Tech and A&M and all the other schools around Austin so cool that Austin just like, oh, well, we want that too. We can't start there. That's what I'm saying. Basically, gotcha. I'm Mark Zuckerberg in this case.
Get rid of the.
Yeah.
Kaboom a bar.
Evan, good luck with juggling the.
We didn't even mention
Evko.
Evko.
Wait a minute. I got food in a bar. And
I was just going to say, somehow he's in the State Journal for being booed in a bar for ordering a salad at a brat joint. He literally was booed. And it was one of. You know how in the State Journal they have four stories you can click on the top? I know you're not a State Journal guy anymore, but it's click, 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 click. Evan Cohen being booed in a bar was one of the top four stories in Madison last weekend.
I saw it. Yes, I read it too.
Is that not? I can't believe we didn't start with that.
That's a bad job by you. That's a bad job by you.
The boo in a bar.
Well, you did come in hot about the snow day situation.
I came in hot about the cold, Jason.
Indeed, yes. So this is great because we've now managed to go from
late.
So might as well really go late. Tell us your salad story at State Street Brats, which I'm sure serves ice cream.
Okay, so on Saturday when I was in Madison for the Illinois game won by Wisconsin, no big deal. Michelle Smallman and I were walking around State Street. She had never been to State Street. I walked her, you know, we walked around everywhere. And she said, you know, let's go. We decided to go there for lunch. So I'm trying to eat right? That's how she saw me the night before. I did a little chicken lettuce wrap kind of thing. Not the worst in the world, right? Not the best, but not the worst. So all right, let me try to eat right here. So I ordered a grilled chicken sandwich with a side salad. Not the best, not the worst. At that time of day, it's one of those things where you have the the stands with the number on them, where the waiter or waitress walks around, because it's not like waiter or waitress service. You order at the counter and they bring it to you. So Michelle was number 119, and I am number 1. So we order separately, because we had to expense it properly. So she gets her food. Now she ordered a brat, a beer, and cheese curds. They bring 119. I'm sitting there and I'm waiting, and it's not coming out. I'm like, what's happening here? All of a sudden, on the loudspeaker, which I didn't even know they had, order number 120, we are unable to locate you. Order number 120. I'm like, oh my God. So I get up. Everybody's staring at me like, oh, you're 120. What? Where are you? Whatever. Waiter comes over. We finally find each other. Guy hands me the food. They see, because I'm 120, grilled chicken and a salad, and they started booing me that I didn't order like a regular brat kind of meal. So when Coach Alvarez says to Jesse and Tarek and Derek, go boo in a bar, I literally got booed in a bar. Then somehow, because yeah. I got recognized by people there. They were starting to take pictures and stuff. No big deal. And so then it gets picked up by the Wisconsin State Journal that I'm the loser that ordered the salad at a sports bar because they probably had never made that before. I could not believe all of a sudden Jim Rutledge, Jim, Matt, and Molly. Thank you, by the way, to Wilde and Tausch, Jim, Matt, and Molly, for having us on. KBN, still waiting for the invite when we came to Madison. Jim forwards me the story and says, you got to see this. I texted to Tausch. Tausch is like, this is not only a story. They put this on the front page of everything. I couldn't believe it.
Pretty
Any
crazy.
Follow-ups? Go ahead.
Go boo in a bar.
That's what I was waiting for. I'd like to go back to the part where you said you were recognized, no big deal.
Right.
Did you feel like people recognized you as Matt LaPay's protege because of your reputation in Madison or because of your wildly popular national radio show?
Yeah, interesting. Probably not the LaPay part, although that would be an honor for somebody to recognize me that way. But you'd be surprised. I know you're rooting against it, Jason, but we got stopped a bunch. And somehow I got stopped before Michelle did. We were keeping track because we're losers. I won 5-0. People stopped me 5 times before they stopped her. How about that?
That is definitely something to brag about.
Tausch never got stopped. You almost feel like Tausch's fame is dwindling a little bit, Madison. Would you agree? That's what you texted me to talk about, right, Jason?
Oh, wow.
Interesting. I'm all right with that.
Evan, we will talk to you next week. We will not have the Killers music playing when we do.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
New era.
Yeah, era.
Take care. Be good.
All right. Bye.
That is Evan Cohen of Unsportsmanlike, who was recognized 5 times during his visit to Madison. Jesse, I say this.
He's here for 4 days. I mean, that's like one a day. You know what I mean? I don't know what he's glazing himself about it. It's like
self-glazing.
Four of the people were at the Everlight Solar Studios that recognized him.
Nice. So. I step out onto this creaky limb carefully. It is time for another Iron Jock giveaway.
Oh boy!
I personally.
Oh boy.
Really enjoy opening up the possibilities to later callers. I think Riley Yauch, who drew Evan Cohen's praise for his post.
Is Riley in studio today, Jesse? Is he around?
He is not.
He available?
He has the year off.
Okay.
So Jesse complained to management about his incredibly difficult workload of 126 callers yesterday.
I did not.
Yes.
No, management got involved.
I complained to you guys.
So, in an effort to stay on the right side of HR, Tausch, tell us about Iron Jock and then select a caller that is earlier than 126, please.
I will do that. And, you know, I've worn just about every type of workout gear there is, and nothing compares to Iron Jock. Performance apparel built to fight sweat, odor, bacteria. Keeping you feeling fresh no matter how hard you push. And now Iron Jock is introducing 4 new lightweight hoodies. These hoodies are world class with cooling, wicking, and 4-way stretch. Go to ironjock.com to get your hoodie today. That's ironjock.com. Get that today. And right now is your chance to win your own hoodie from Iron Jock. Give a call at 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. So I've taken into account that Jesse has been tired, and we've been working him hard.
Uh-huh.
So we're not going to go triple digits today. We're not going to do that. Caller 99. That's caller number guy. 99 will win the new Iron Jock lightweight hoodie. Again, caller 99. 844-770-3776 to win that new lightweight Iron Jock hoodie.
Caller 99 right now, 844-770-3776. More Wilde and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wilde and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
Congratulations to Lucas in Partyville. Not to be confused, I don't think, unless he's got a different residence than I thought he did, with Lucas Van Ness, who we need to talk to.
Not good news with him.
Yeah, we'll discuss that coming up a little bit later. I want to make sure that we're getting to our friend Matt Bowen, who is scheduled to appear at 10:30. So, but congratulations to Lucas. He wins the Iron Jock prize pack from our great partners at Iron Jock. Love the four-way stretch. It's hard to beat. It's also hard to, well, actually, right now, it's apparently kind of easy to beat the Bucks. Things are not going great for the Bucks.
Oof.
But that doesn't mean you shouldn't tune in to the new season of Behind the Bucks on the Bucks Plus Audio Network, presented by Gallagher, your trusted insurance broker and HR and benefits consultant. Locked In, narrated by Bucks legend Marcus Johnson, takes you inside the team's pursuit of a championship. Hear from the Bucks stars on how the competition is building chemistry and fueling another run at the moment just to get to 500. Find Behind the Bucks on Bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, the new ESPN Wisconsin app, and wherever you get the podcasts. The
Wizards are 3-16, and they blew a 16-point lead last night.
Not great, Bob. Behind the Bucks, presented by Gallagher.
I'm nervous Shams is going to be putting a report out again pretty soon. His 88th report on Giannis.
Advocacy journalism. We need to get to the 10 o'clock hour. We will do so in 2 minutes, so stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.